Listen to the voices of our world.
Men have created laws in the name of God that are designed to control us and ultimately subordinate us.
I always say to people, don't blame the religion, blame the people that they actually practice it.
I had a right, just like the men, to speak and to become a leader in my community. To me, this is all Islamic.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Maryknoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. As in other major religions, patriarchal customs within Islam, often cultural in origin, have dictated the role of women in the Arab world for centuries. Islamic women are often seen, but seldom heard. However, there are some courageous Islamic women who refuse to be silent any longer. Today, we explore the growing feminist movement within Islam as we talk with authors Azra Nomani and Ghazal Omid, two of the more strident voices for change in the Muslim world. As the Western world, led by the U.S. and its allies, attempts to impose its version of democracy and win the hearts and minds of the Islamic and Arab world, the stark cultural and political differences between the two civilizations have never been more apparent. The values of the Western society that we often take for granted, such as free speech, free press, freedom of religion, civil rights, and access to education, are still largely absent in Islamic countries. The Islamic faith finds itself in the midst of a genuine dilemma. How can they remain true to their faith while still enjoying and participating in a modern world, which is based upon values that many Muslims find troublesome and, in some cases, blasphemous? Nowhere is this clash of civilizations more evident than in the treatment of women in the Muslim and Arab world. As technology advances and the world becomes even smaller, Islam will have to confront the abusive treatment of women and eventually reconcile Sharia laws and traditions with Western institutions and beliefs. Some would argue that this final reconciliation is only possible through outside intervention from Western military coalitions. However, there is a revolutionary war of ideas taking place within Islam itself about the role of religion and women in the modern world. Islamic feminist and author Azra Nomani has added fuel to this raging internal debate with the release of her new book, Standing Alone in Mecca. As a passionate believer in human and civil rights, Azra Nomani argues that contrary to the actual teachings of the Quran, Islam has been distorted and warped by men to subjugate women, stifle dissent, and justify war. Through her personal experiences in the Muslim world, Azra Nomani has seen firsthand the outright oppression that most Muslim women must endure in the name of their faith. As a dissenting voice in the Islamic community, she has run the risk of imprisonment, kidnapping, and even death in order to shed light on the unequal and unacceptable treatment received by Muslim women the world over. We are pleased to have with us today Azra Nomani.
We have the great pleasure of speaking with Azra Nomani. She is a journalist and author and a woman that's making change towards equal rights within Islam. And so welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Please tell us how you came to actually be an activist within Islam.
Well, I'm speaking to you from my childhood home in Morgantown, West Virginia, which is where I grew up as a little girl. I was an immigrant to America from India. My mother had come with my father after having had an arranged marriage. She had spent most of her life behind the veil, covered, and it was only in coming to America that she freed herself from so many of the traditions that had defined her as a woman. And when she came here, she helped to free me. You know, she became a strong and powerful woman, started her own business. And I watched her as a Muslim woman being so strong. And I also felt, you know, a real confusion because the messages that I was getting from the community was that a woman had to know her place and she had to stay in the kitchen and she had to stay silent. And this is where I was starting to have my first reflections over 30 years ago on this major question that's, you know, going through the world today, which is what is the rightful place of women within the Muslim world? And so, you know, for all of my adult life, I was really very thoughtful and just contemplative about this question. I had become a successful journalist, you know, inspired by my mother's model of realizing your dreams. But I couldn't assert myself in my community. When I went to the mosque, I had to stay in a separated area while the men had the lectures and all of the vibrant stuff going on in the main hall of our mosque. And so I felt like I couldn't be a powerful woman within my Muslim community. I knew that as a woman, I was not allowed to go into this mosque. I was not allowed to go into most of the mosques in Pakistan and many of the mosques in the Muslim world. You know, this idea of segregation had become so intense that the place of worship for Muslims had become forbidden territory to women. And, you know, I just thought it was disgusting and ridiculous and awful that our mosques had become safe havens for expressions of hatred, and they couldn't be open to women like myself. I just realized during that time just how far we had gone from the real beauty of Islam. And in the midst of that, I also came to a real personal crossroads. I learned that I was pregnant, and I was also frightened by that prospect. I had fallen in love with a Pakistani man, and on a very personal level, I had to confront this issue of whether I was going to keep my baby, because I was considered a criminal within the Islamic law that declared that an unwed mother is a criminal. And so this question of whether Islam could be loving and tolerant and compassionate and kind came very close to home for me.
This is Voices of Our World. If you're just joining us, we are discussing the role of women in the Arab world with Islamic feminist and author Asra Nomani. Her new book, Standing Alone in Mecca, has caused quite a stir in the Muslim community as she explores the true teachings of the Quran and demonstrates how the harsh treatment inflicted on Islamic women is in fact contrary to the actual Quranic texts. Join us as we continue exploring this fascinating topic with Asra Nomani.
Now, how is it? I think most people see that very, you know, the veiled woman, and especially now with the war in Iraq, you know, there's so much talk about women's rights and creating the option of liberating women in Iraq. With that conception of very conservative way of viewing women as not equal to men within Islam, whether it's true or perceived, how have those laws come about if Muhammad himself did not envision that?
Well, women in Islam have suffered just like women in other faiths have suffered. Men have basically created laws in the name of God that are designed to control us and ultimately subordinate us. They are rules like the idea that a woman's voice cannot be heard. I mean, this is something that the Jewish and Christian faiths also had to battle, and we are now still battling that within Islam. We're behind the curve on this, but, you know, I'm really inspired by the struggles of women and men in the other faiths to liberate themselves from these man-made rules. You know, we have a civil rights group called the Council on American-Islamic Relations. They fight for a lot of civil liberties issues for Muslims. We have the Islamic Society of North America, which has many and most of the mosques in our country as members. And what we have with those two organizations and then a few smaller ones is, you know, a real affirmation of women's rights. And so, you know, when I first went to those organizations, the front end of our struggle for support, they didn't want to get involved. And that's basically been the problem with women's rights in our Muslim world. People don't want to get involved. They don't want to take a stake.
You said that you are forging out on a gender jihad. What does that mean?
Well, there is an amazing revolution going on in the Muslim world today where we have a growing movement called Islamic feminism, and it is a struggle to win women's rights going into the roots of Islam, you know, tapping the inspiration of Islam. And so women and men are part of that struggle, and we've called it a gender jihad, a struggle for women's rights. And there's an amazing conference in Barcelona, Spain, just a few months ago, where a dozen women came from around the world and basically shared their stories from the trenches of this struggle. A woman from Mali who's fighting forced marriages, a woman from Nigeria who's fighting the scarlet letter laws that punish women if they become mothers without wedding rings, another woman from Malaysia who is fighting these rules that allow men to marry multiple wives. And so we are coming together now. It's just the early stages, but it's a really powerful, powerful time. And to that conference, I said, you know, that I was proud to be there among the bad girls of Islam, because that's how so many people view us. But I viewed that our gender jihad is part of a larger peace jihad, you know, a larger struggle for peace. Because without women's rights, we can't win tolerance. And the two are very closely tied to each other.
You wrote a book called Standing Alone in Mecca.
Yeah.
How can you stand alone in Mecca?
You know, it's just like a lot of people feel like, you know, when can you ever be alone in this world? But as anybody who has ever felt alone knows, you can be in a crowd and still feel very much like you are a lone figure. And so there in Mecca, you know, even though I was shoulder to shoulder and surrounded by so many, I felt very much alone trying to figure out how I was going to be a single mother and how I was going to stand up for my rights and my convictions. What I felt was a real loneliness. And I think that this is a loneliness that a lot of Muslims feel when they are thrown out of communities because they challenge the sermons at a mosque that might be intolerant and unkind. And, you know, I was also evoking the spirit of Hagar standing alone in Mecca with her son Ishmael at her feet, because that's the wellspring that we have available to us of just power and a hope.
A hope for change.
Yeah, I'm completely convinced that we can accomplish real transformation of our world. I just know that we can win.
Can Islam successfully balance its traditional religious beliefs with the Western values of democracy and freedom? Email us at radio@marynoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.